Thank you so much. I was saying, I'd like to share a burden with you, and I hope and pray that you may be able as well to pick up that burden and take it on and share it in your various lives and capacities that way. Before we begin, I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, we'll read that in a short moment or so. Psalm 78, but let me share a moment or so of housekeeping with you. First area of housekeeping is this. July 5th, if you can think of that, it's a Wednesday night. I want to encourage you to go up to Slippery Rock Baptist Camp. They have fireworks Wednesday, July 5th. I'm not just saying podunk camp fireworks. They are professionals. They've been doing that for a long time. And whatever your community has on the 4th, I'm going to guarantee this will outlast whatever your communities have. So let me encourage you that way. July 5th, if you come early enough, there's dinner that the camp will provide. If you come early enough, there's a service prior to the fireworks. If you can wait around to about 9:40 or so, it's going to be a good time. Second thing of housekeeping, if I could, with you for a moment, I want you to pray for an individual out of our former church, a young man. I don't know the details, and since we're live, I don't want to say the name necessarily, except to have you pray for a man by the name of Isaac in the Marines, apparently Saturday, suffered traumatic injuries. He's in the balance as we speak this morning. And so if you could pray with me that way for a gentleman by the name of Isaac, young man in the Marines. Let's pray together, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being here today. Father, I thank you for the service of song. What a delight that is to join our hearts and voices together as we sing, to be reminded of the precious truths as we teach one another and admonish one another through song and hymn and spiritual song. Father, I pray for our time together this morning that it may be an encouragement, but likewise, I'm praying that it might be a burden that we can pass on one to another and encourage one another with this tremendous burden. Thank you, Father, for Gospel Life Church. Thank you for the ministry, as we've already prayed, that it has in this community. I thank you, Father, for the blessing that this family has been upon our lives, our family. And I continue to pray, Father, that you would rise up and continue to raise up here in this community a lighthouse for the Word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our time together. Be with our pastor and family as they're away. Father, we ask that you would give them great rest and help them to come back restored to continue to engage in the ministry that you have called them to. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to suggest that we started a while back, my first message here, a little bit of time ago, and suggesting that you have been fed a diet of steak, okay? No doubt about it. Today, you're going to get a little bit of meatloaf. Admittedly, though, with that steak, with our study in Ecclesiastes, there's been some gristle in that steak. And something that we have been asked to chew on upon a bit and so forth. And just a reminder, continue chewing and continue to be blessed as we continue that study in Ecclesiastes. Next week, the Lord willing, we will have a special speaker here. You have Pastor Trepanier, you have myself, you'll have my son, Ken, coming in from California. I'm not sure what he's going to feed you. Probably coming from California, sushi, I'm not even sure. But anyways, be praying for Ken and the ministry that he'll have here in our midst. You're in Psalm 78. Let me just read a couple verses out of that. Psalm 78, if you have the Pew Bible, page 457, beginning with verse 1. I'm reading out of the King James. Please forgive me. That's my background, and I'm familiar with that, so I hope you can make the adjustment that way. It says in Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from the children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he hath commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Ending with verse 8, but referencing the chapter as we move on here, I am burdened for the next generation. What about you? I am so concerned for the next generation. It was not too long ago that on our Wednesday night when we gathered together, the first Wednesday night of the month, that we had the teens take over, and that was a tremendous thing. But that service was concluded with a plea from Keith that's asked that we keep our teens before the Lord in prayer. I just want to encourage you, are you concerned for the next generation? That's my burden. I hope that as we have the time together this morning, that I may be able to express that burden in a way that would bring honor and glory to the Lord and plead with you, as Keith did, that we keep that next generation before the Lord in prayer. It's actually kind of interesting that we have this opportunity today, because after our service this morning, we had the legacy meeting over there, senior adults. I actually wanted to adopt the name that we did at Middletown Road Baptist Church. It was called Senior Adult Ministries Club, or Sam's Club. That was voted down. I do like legacy better. But one of the purposes of legacy is to be cross-generational, to reach the generations following us in the things of the Lord, and to encourage those generations following us. Well, how do we do that? First of all, let me remind you in Scripture. Genesis 28 is a very interesting chapter. We don't have to go there this morning, but it's a chapter about Jacob. Jacob was on the run, and as we understand reading that chapter, he takes a rock for a pillow, falls asleep, and that's where we get the story of Jacob's ladder. He had a vision of angels going up and down this ladder, and as he awakens in the morning, he comes away with this conclusion: surely God was in this place. And to memorialize that, he takes his pillow. Now imagine this, taking your pillow. But anyways, taking this pillow and sets it up in such a way that it would be forever memorialized that God was in this place. Well, I have to think that it was more than just the pillow that he used. I believe if we think in terms of Stonehenge, somehow he erected a memorial because he left that place saying, Bethel, house of God, God was here. You take that kind of idea and think with me, please, in Joshua chapter 3 and 4. Children of Israel just finished wandering through the wilderness, 40-some years. They have the last barrier of crossing over the Jordan River. And as Joshua makes plans, God tells them how to do this. The end of the story is they successfully move across the Jordan River. The Lord allowed the waters to be parted. They moved successfully on the other side. But before moving on into the land, they were instructed to take a stone from each tribe and establish it there. And the Bible tells us that as they were to do that, it was so that the generations following them might ask, what's the meaning of these stones? And then that would give the parents, the generations before, the opportunity to say it was right here at this place that God parted the rivers. Joshua was told the people that, God told Joshua, so that those stones would be a memorial for the children of Israel forever. It was from Genesis 28, as I mentioned, Joshua chapter 3 and 4, that all through the Old Testament then that we have the building of pillars at high places, usually becoming worship centers. Well, the point of this was, it wasn't necessarily a thing to be remembered. It wasn't necessarily a worship center, but it was something that the generations to follow might remember what God has done. Several years ago, I was speaking at the camp to senior citizens. I don't know what it is about me and senior citizens. But I was mentioning that there are pillars all throughout the city of Pittsburgh. I have no idea what they're about. And then in an illustration, a throwaway statement kind of thing, I mentioned that going from Evans City to Butler, there's a huge memorial, and who knows what that was about? Well, somebody from this church pulled me inside and said, "You don't know what that's about? That's where George Washington was shot by an Indian years ago." But they built a huge monument there so that the generations to follow might be remembering that. That's what we see in Scripture. That kind of idea continues to this day. I had opportunity, and I thank the Lord for this, to visit the land of Israel. I want to go back again. But visiting the land of Israel, there in Jerusalem, I saw a bunch of women soldiers dressed in their army gear, all having rifles, and they were overlooking the Valley of the Kings right there in Jerusalem. Most of them were looking at what was being pointed out. Two of them had their backs to the group, making sure that they were not surprised attacked, and so they were poised to the ready. What the purpose of that group was, so that they, whoever was instructing them, might teach these young soldiers, these ladies, the importance of every monument down in that Valley of Kings. They wanted to do that so that they would remember. It just so happened that very same day, we went to their Holocaust Museum. I again saw the very same soldiers, and I felt like I was wrongly eavesdropping as we went from room to room, they did, understanding the horrors of the Holocaust. Folks, they will not forget. I think we lost that in our country, and I think we lost that in our Christianity, to pass on to the next generation. That continues to this day, so that everybody in Israel today that graduates from their military services goes to Masada. Masada, high upon the mountain, where the Jewish people were surrounded by the Roman soldiers, and they committed suicide so that the Roman soldiers would not take them over in defeat. And the reason why they have all the military go there to this very day, so they will never forget. Folks, we have a responsibility to the next generation. We have a responsibility to remind them what the Lord has done in our lives so that they will not forget. That's the very thing that you see in Genesis 78. Note with me very quickly. As we read through it, in verses 1 through 3, it says that they should remember the truth. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. In other words, we're going to pass down something that's very important you should remember. Note in verses 4 through 6, this is the revealing of the truth. Note, we will not hide them from their children, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established the testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he has commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. You see, I'm passing on something. You need to pass on what I'm telling you. You know, as a result of doing that, He has established a testimony, verse 5. He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6a, that the generations to come might know them, even the children that should be born. Don't forget this. Information that needs to be passed on from one generation to the next. We continue. 6b, this is the result of doing that. Notice this. That the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and as well declare them to their children. First result of passing on is that they may pass these things on to their children. Second thing, as we see in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. Why do we pass this on? Why is this information precious? Not only will I pass them on to the next generation, but so that that generation might set their hope in God. The next thing, notice with me, as we continue, 7b, as we the reason why, but keep his commandments and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So the third thing is that they will not forget the works of God, God's works. As we continue, 7c, and they will keep his commandments. So note the purpose. Set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And this is what will happen if they do this. Think with me. If I pass this on so that they set their hope in God, so that likewise they will not forget God's works, that they will keep his commandments, note the result, the very next verse. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set their hearts, who set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let me ask you a question. Do you want the generation following you to be better than you spiritually? Do you want the generation following you to accomplish great things for the Lord spiritually? That's what will happen if you pass things on to the next generation. Long time ago, I discovered, as you probably did, Facebook. And I was so enamored with Facebook. I mean, I wanted to see what the kids in my high school youth group were doing. I wanted to see what kids I went to college with were doing. And slowly but surely, I closed the chapter of Facebook because I was so disappointed in what my generation was doing. They forgot the Lord. Some of them turned to homosexuality. I mean, it was disgrace after disgrace. I want that next generation following me be far better than me spiritually, have a better walk than me with the Lord than I did. Note here, again in verse 8, they will be better than their fathers and be not as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set their heart not aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Verse 9 we did not read previously, but verse 9 we can begin perhaps with these words. For example, note with me verse 9. This is contrary to the pleading that we hear. Note again, the children of Ephraim, one of the tribes, being armed, that's a good thing, and carrying bows, that's a good thing, turn back in the day of battle. You know what that means? They retreated. They were doing the proper thing, but in the face of battle, because they were not instructed, because they didn't know what God did, all those things, they retreated in the day of battle. Folks, I believe that's where some of contemporary Christianity is today. Oh, we know the hopes of God's word. We've heard them over and over. But in our day of battle, are we retreating or are we advancing the word of God? Ephraim retreated. Very interested. That word there, turn back. You know what that word is in the original? Repented. You can repent negatively as well. In fact, through the course of the chapter, you'll see at least five ways, we won't take the time to look at it today, but five ways in which they turned away from God, repented negatively. Why? Because they didn't carry the word of God with them, because probably they weren't instructed in all that God did for them, and they retreated in the day of battle. With that in mind, please, again, trying to reach that next generation. Go with me, please, for a New Testament example. And I hope and pray that this would be a blessing to you. New Testament example is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I should say. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I did write this down for you so that I would... It's page 936. I hope I'm doing that well. 936 in your pew Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Before looking at chapter 3, note just a couple verses, please, prior to that. Notice with me verse 5 of chapter 1. Greatly desiring to set thee, see thee, be mindful of thy tears that I may be filled, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. By the way, faithful grandparents and parents instructed Timothy, as we learn in Psalm 78. This is my God. This is how he's been faithful. I'm sharing this with you that you might hope in God. Nowhere as well. Verse 13 of that same chapter, hold fast the form of sound words which you heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Chapter 3, finally, chapter 3, verse 1. How to be burdened for that next generation, we're thinking through. Chapter 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word perilous, no doubt you've heard many, many times in the past, is the same word that is used to describe the madman of Gadara in the Gospels. In the way of saying it, maniac of Gadara. In other words, Timothy, know this, that maniacal times are coming. I shared that once with our folks at Middletown Road Baptist Church, and I said maniacal instead of maniacal. And I expressed that to a lady after the service, and she said, "That's all right, Pastor, we knew what you meant." I pray that you would know what I mean. Crazy times are here. Note just a description of those. Paul's telling Timothy, I want you to be aware. Crazy times, maddening times shall come. Note how it's described. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Are we there today? We're there. Paul's warning Timothy, I want you to know. Folks, I want you to know. That's where we are today. So how do you navigate these kind of times? Note with me, please, verse 10. Paul's instruction to Timothy, crazy times are coming, a description of those times. Now, how do you navigate? This is how you navigate. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why? Because we're in crazy times. But Timothy, you have seen me go through these things. What are you to do to navigate? Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Can I plead with you? There's a list of about 10 things there that I like to go through very quickly. And the reason why is because Paul passed them down to Timothy in order to navigate the crazy times he's gone through. And my burden today, we have a responsibility to pass these same things on as well, so that those following after us might be able, with the Lord's help, to navigate these crazy times. Well, what are you talking about? First of all, but thou hast known my, as it says there, thou hast known my doctrine. Or the word there could be teaching. Can I plead with you this morning? Do you know, what do you know biblically? Not only that, what do you believe biblically? That's all underneath doctrine. Or what do you know you believe? Or what do you believe you know? What I'm saying here is this. Have you passed on to those following you, for example, what you believe about God's word? What about the effects of sin in the human personality? About who Jesus is? About why he died, was buried, and rose again? What about, as well, have you passed on about the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer? What about the importance of the local church? What about the biblical directives of baptism? What about the believer's regular involvement in communion? What about this, our glorious hope and longing in the second coming of our Lord? That's all underneath doctrine or teaching. What do you believe about that? And what have you passed on? Bible says this, for the which cause, Paul writes, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. As we just read, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, we have a responsibility, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, to pass on what we believe. I can't tell you the number of times when I was a pastor when I heard these words, well, we'll let them sort out what they believe. No! We'll let them decide if they should go to church. No! We need to tell them, this is what I firmly held on to as doctrine, and I want to pass that on to you. Continuing, notice it says in verse 10, you have fully known my manner of life, or perhaps it could say your way of life. Here we're suggesting, oh, maybe I shouldn't go here, steps on toes. No, I should. Your lifestyle. Your manner of life. What has directed the way you live? Why do you live in the manner that you do? What has formed your choices and decisions in life? My dad's favorite verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Bible as well says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Your manner of life. I pray that you're living the lifestyle that you would want to pass on to the next generations. Next in verse 10 there, notice with me your purpose. Thou hast fully known my purpose. Years ago in high school, do you remember those philosophical questions? Why are you here? You remember that? Or what would you do to describe your great purpose in life? And how have you pursued that purpose in the past, and how are you pursuing that now? Eventually, we'll get to it, but notice this in Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Ecclesiastes ends, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is my purpose, the whole duty of man. And then the book ends, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Continuing here, notice in verse 10 again, you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith. You have fully known my faith. I pray that you do know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that was the first step in your journey of faith. But how else through your life had you had to trust God? I mean, how have you lived out your faith? It would be a great opportunity here to pass on to the next generation how you came by faith to the Lord. Just yesterday, we're setting up for legacy. And so one of us asked the rest, how did you come to know the Lord? It was interesting. The involvement in children's ministries in our lives. Four or five of us came to know the Lord through Sunday school, Awana, those kind of things. But my point here is this. Have you passed on to the next generation how you, by faith, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the most important thing, I believe, how you came by faith to the Lord. The Bible says it this way. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Your faith. How about this? Continuing verse 10, passing on to the next generation. Your patience. There in the King James described this way, but thou hast fully known my longsuffering. Where have you had to be especially patient in your life? Where have you had to wait upon the Lord to trust his timing, not yours? And what has that waiting upon the Lord teach you? And how did the Lord use that long suffering in your life? Remember, tribulation works. Oh, you got to help me here. Tribulation works patience. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and perilous promises, precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Your patience. Then notice verse 10 again. As we work through faith, long-suffering, and as well, passing down to the next generation, your love. but thou hast fully known my love. Wow. Who or what do you love the most? Think about that. What would you say is the love of your life? This, I believe, passing on gives you an opportunity to love, declare your love for the Lord, to declare your love for family, to declare your love for God's word, to declare your love for the church, his people. Deuteronomy says it this way, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I need to be honest with you this morning. Would you expect, I hope, nothing else? But when my son was young, I loved photography. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Problem with photography back then, I was in seminary. Film cost money. Developing that film cost money. Cameras cost money. Lenses cost money. So that love had to die in my life. And wouldn't you know, digital photography came around. My son has picked that up and has done tremendous things with that. But he learned that love through me. Now my son that will be here next week, you can tease him about this. Guess what he loves? Legos. I don't understand that. But every member now of his family loves Legos. We went out there to visit. He said, Dad, I have a gift for you. I said, what? A Lego set. Are you serious? But more than that, what about your loves? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you passing that on to the next generation? Is it evident in your life that he is first and foremost? Very quickly, notice this. Again in verse 10, you've known my charity. Note the next word there, patience. The word there could be endurance. You have fully known my endurance. You have fully known my patience. When did you find it especially hard to persist in something God was calling you to do? That's endurance. How did you find the strength to keep going on with that? Paul would say it this way, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Didn't say he won every battle, but he fought with great endurance. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Endurance. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also unto them that love is appearing. Very quickly, are you enduring for the Lord's sake? Are you keeping on, keeping on? I'll give you an illustration of endurance. How many times have we said on January 1st, I'm going to read the Bible every day for devotions? By January, we'll give you February. That's petered out. I'll pray every day. Endurance, keeping on, because you know that's what the Lord would want you to do. Continuing in verse 11, persecutions. You have fully known my persecutions. Passing down to the next generation, have you suffered persecution? We need to be honest and say, not much compared to our brothers and sisters elsewhere in the world. But perhaps you have suffered persecution at the hand of men, because you were serving the Lord first and foremost. Can I plead with you? Know this, that following Christ is always costly. And it may cost your life. But what we need to pass on to the next generation is this, that following Christ is always worth it. Your persecutions. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Your sufferings, as continuing there in verse 11, how you fully know not only my persecutions, but my afflictions, how we have suffered in your life, and how the Lord has helped you through your suffering. By suffering, I mean this. Paul would write, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He asked three times that his suffering would be removed. And the Lord responded, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Can you believe that? Lord, if it means drawing closer to you, I glory in that. Bring it on. "I take pleasure, a glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak in my sufferings, then I am strong." And then lastly, notice your deliverance. "You have fully known how the Lord has delivered you." Paul speaks on how the Lord, God, has rescued him from all the afflictions that he has faced. And likewise, we should pass on to that next generation how the Lord has rescued or delivered you. Listen to Paul when he writes, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver." Colossians says it this way, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Folks, we are in maniacal times. The next generation will face what we are enduring right now and worse. They will have to navigate somehow. And perhaps you can be a blessing to them by allowing them to know these things. "You have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions." And as they know those things, verse 14, "May they continue thou in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I'm concerned for the next generation. What about you? What are you doing about that concern? Remember, we talked about in Genesis 28, that pillow that Jacob made, Bethel, house of God, so that with those that would pass God, passed by, surely God was in this place. In Joshua chapter 3 and 4, the 12 pillars, so that the generations to come, take those two things, images, and in 1 Peter, Paul says, we are lively stones. Same kind of thought, but living stones, lively stones. And folks, as we are lively stones because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, understand, people of the next generation will be passing by. What kind of memorial are we stating for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ? Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our time together. And Father, I am concerned for that next generation. And Father, many ways I think we have left them down for not passing on the things that we have learned. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us in that endeavor. I'm praying, Father, that they would see in those, the next generation would see in those of us how we have attempted, hopefully faithfully followed you. And may we be lively stones for the generation, for the testimony of the generations to follow us. With that in mind, Father, no doubt in a group this size, perhaps as we pass on things like our faith, perhaps there's someone here that may not fully have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have placed their faith perhaps in themselves or other things. And I pray, Father, that you take that heart that's far from you, convict them that they need to have a faith in Christ alone and what he has accomplished for them on Calvary's tree. Thank you, Father, for our time together. May we be faithful and passing these godly things on to the next generation. This we ask in Jesus' precious name.